Alrighty, what's going on, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of the Trent Corville Show. I am him. I greatly appreciate everybody joining us here on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot going on in the NFL right now. Obviously, we had the championship games, the AFC and the NFC champions. We know who is going to the Super Bowl, but besides that, there's a lot of drama going on right now. We got Brian Flores suing the entire NFL. Not a good look for the NFL right now. This is not going to be good. Now, obviously, as we all know from the past with lawsuits in the NFL, usually the person suing the NFL, it doesn't go in their favor. That's just usually, that's how the game works. You're playing with the biggest league on earth. Obviously, if you don't know what's going on, Brian Flores is suing the entire NFL for, you know, discrimination, not hiring enough black coaches, and there is all the evidence you need right there to the point where the NFL, yeah, you know, you can preach change, you can say end racism, and this is all, we're all in this together, but if you don't do it, and if you don't show it as far as coaching staff goes, when 75% of the NFL is black athletes, you got a problem. You got a big problem, and Brian Flores is putting it on the line right now. He's saying, you know what, I'm going to give up my coaching career in the NFL forever to do this, to make a change, and I stand with him. I stand with whatever Brian Flores has got going. I really do. I really do, because this has been a problem. It is still a problem, and the NFL is trying to save face right now, saying that Brian Flores, there's no merit to it. There's no merit to his accusations. There definitely is, and there's definitely, this is going to go on for a long, long time. So that's happening right now. Another thing happened, okay, and it's probably the biggest news the NFL has seen in quite some time. Tom Brady officially hanging it up from the NFL after 22 beautiful seasons in the NFL. Now, this was originally reported on Saturday by Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington. Surprised they both still have jobs. Very surprised Adam Schefter still has a job right now with what he did. We're talking about Tom Brady here, the greatest of all time. He owns he is the NFL for the last 20, 25 years at least. And to report that without even asking him, without, you know, clarification, without the go-ahead from the greatest of all time, unbelievable. So this happens. Schefter's not reeling back. Jeff Darlington went silent on Saturday. He went absolutely silent. Not good for him, but it was official. Tuesday morning, it was announced. Tom Brady went via Instagram. A very long retirement. Very long retirement, about 4 or 5 swipes, people. So, you know, hunker down when you're reading that one. But it is beautiful. And obviously, the internet is in an uproar, especially Patriots fans right now, because they're like, well, he didn't thank us. He didn't thank the Patriots. You should be grateful, Patriots fans. Okay, I'm speaking to Patriots fans only. You should be grateful for what Tom Brady gave to you. He gave you probably 20 years of the best time of your life. If you're a true diehard New England Patriots fan, 20 years, 9 Super Bowl appearances. He broke every record imaginable. You had an undefeated season until Eli Manning ruined it, and he ruined it twice, by the way. But anyways, I mean, absolutely beautiful by Eli Manning. Eli Manning, you know, did a retirement, like a thank you to Tom, and at the end of it, he said, and thanks for letting me have a couple Super Bowls. Just a dig to him right there. Just a dig, because, I mean, think about it. Nick Foles and Eli Manning are the only two quarterbacks to beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. That's tough to say, you know, but it doesn't obviously disparage the greatest football player of all time in Tom Brady. And I was talking with a couple people over at the ESPN station, and I was like, my entire childhood, I'm a pretty young guy, ladies and gents, my entire childhood has been dominated by Tom Brady. That is all I've known. Hey, who's the greatest football player of all time? To me, Tom Brady. Always will be, my entire life. And I was thinking about it, you know, throughout my childhood, I've grown up with some amazing athletes, some of the best we've ever seen. Tom Brady, Usain Bolt during his run, unbelievable. Michael Phelps during his run, unbelievable. Tiger Woods, LeBron James, the list goes on and on and on. And one of our greats is leaving us. This is kind of like Michael Phelps when he was like, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to do another Olympics. I'm not comparing to, it's obviously apples and oranges. Like, you can't compare swimming to football, but as far as greatness factor goes, it is unbelievable what Tom Brady did in his career. He will be remembered as the greatest quarterback, the greatest football player of all time. He's got more Super Bowls than every NFL franchise, okay? That's all you need to know right there. I was having a conversation earlier. Line up all, you know, the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Line them all up. 10. have everybody hold their hands up backwards with all of their Super Bowl rings on the fingers and determine who's the greatest. Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowls, 10 appearances. That's a 70% win percentage in the Super Bowl. Unbelievable what this guy did in his career. And not to mention, coming off a season at the age of 44 years old, 5,300 yards and 44 touchdowns. The man could have played till he was 50. He could have. But when you heard him start talking about, you know, my family, I want to spend more time with my family, you know, and he's got everything in front of him as far as business goes. Obviously, he's got his new NFT company, the Autograph IO, I believe. He's got the Brady brand, the new apparel. It actually looks pretty cool. Now, will I rock something that says Brady? Probably not, because it's right on the sweatshirt. You're going to buy a hoodie that says Brady right there. That ain't for me, but it's for a lot of people. The TB12 method. I mean, athletes pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for his company to work with Pliability. I think that's unbelievable. So, I mean, this is just an ode to the greatest of all time, Mr. Tom Brady, the ultimate leader, the ultimate competitor. Thank you for the last 20 years of my life to watch you on a field and be like, anytime Tom Brady was on the football field, hey, he's gonna win. Like, whatever it is, whatever team he's on, Tom Brady's going to win. And it was funny, I kind of, when the NFC divisional game happened between Tampa Bay and the Rams, down 27-3 in that game, in my head, I immediately went and live bet Tampa Bay. Immediately. I said, Tom Brady, this is what Brady does. This is what Brady does against all odds. He's the ultimate competitor. I also broke down that game when I was, you know, trying to pick it. I ended up taking the Rams, but I said, two words here. Stafford, Brady. Who's going to win? You pick Brady 10 times out of 10. And that's very rare to say about quarterbacks. Very, very rare. But thank you, Mr. Tom Brady, for everything you did for the NFL, for growing the game. It was beautiful to watch you play, sir. I mean, unbelievable. All the memories are starting to go through my head. The Randy Moss year. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that team was so dominant. Obviously, losing in the end, but so dominant. And then when Gronkowski comes into play, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, the names go on and on and on. You start to remember, wow, I cannot believe I was able to witness this. I can't believe it. In my childhood, I was able to witness the greatest to ever do it, and there is no debate about it. You can't come to me and mention, oh, dude, what about Joe Montana? What about Joe Montana? Hey, Joe Cool was awesome. He got 4. Brady has 7. I'll say it once, I'll say it a million times. The athletes in today's sports, all of sports, football included, they had to change the rules because of how big, strong, and fast these humans are. I mean, let's be honest. If Chase Young, okay, if the NFL rules were back in the 70s and 80s, if Chase Young, Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett were allowed to play the way that they played back in the 70s and 80s, every quarterback would die. Every quarterback would have a 3-year lifespan in the NFL. That's just what it was. And also, back in the 70s and 80s and even the 60s, maybe one guy a team, maybe, was like a Chase Young, was like a Myles Garrett. Maybe one. There's about 15 in the NFL in total. There's multiple guys on every single NFL roster, every single NBA roster that you look at and say, how are you a functioning human? How are you able to do the things that you do? Because I cannot figure it out. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a perfect example. He's 7'1". He's got 7% body fat, and he's 275 pounds. He dribbles. He shoots the 3. He posts up. Okay, tell me if he would be allowed to play like the Detroit Pistons did when they were beating up Jordan. Tell me if he was allowed to play, how many players would no longer be playing in the NBA because of that reason. Because there was nobody like Giannis. There's nobody like LeBron back in the day. I don't care what you say. Nobody looked like these humans. That's why the rules have changed. But Tom Brady, in an era where athletes are needed, you have to be athletic in the NFL. Tom Brady can't run. Okay, Tom Brady's not running around. He's rarely moving around in the pocket. And to have 7 Super Bowls in this era, yeah, not even a question. There's no question. I tell you what, though, if somebody in the NFL right now was going to compete with Tom Brady one day, and I'm not a prisoner of the moment here, folks. I am not a prisoner of the moment. From what I've seen the last couple weeks, one guy who I think could potentially live up to the greatness that Tom Brady did. I'm not saying seven Super Bowls, okay, because I personally don't think anybody will ever be able to reach that in their lifetime. That was the last of it. Nobody else is getting to seven Super Bowls, in my opinion. It was supposed to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Supposed to be the Kansas City Chiefs, right? That's why they're spending all this money. That's why they paid Patrick Mahomes. Well, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals went in to Arrowhead, one of the most hostile, loudest environments in the NFL. And by the way, Joe Burrow played in the SEC. Okay, he's been in front of 110,000 people, you know, blacked out, everything. Like, just screaming at him, you know, the whole thing. So he understands crowd noise. But for Joe Burrow to go into Kansas City with that team and be down at halftime. I mean, you know, the first quarter and early in the second quarter, I was ready to turn the game off. I said, oh God, it's 21-3 right now. I was thinking Chiefs are peaking at the right time. They do this every single year. We write them off. They're not playing. They get in the playoffs and they perform. That's what they do. Apparently, the Cincinnati Bengals do the same dang thing because they went into Tennessee on the road, hostile environment, beat them. Okay, beat them close, but beat them. Joe Burrow gets sacked 9 times. They go into Kansas City down 21-10 at halftime and beat the Chiefs in overtime. How can you not say the way Joe Burrow performed in that football game? I mean, there were two key plays, in my opinion, in this game. Both of them involved Joe Burrow running the football. 3rd and 6 and a 3rd and 7 in the second half. You had to have those first downs. You had to. And what does Joe Burrow do? Gets about 12 yards and 15 yards on the run. Bam, first down. Takes them down the field. Throwing touchdown passes. Joe Mixon is getting rolling. This Cincinnati Bengals team shocked the world. They shocked the world. And personally, why were we surprised? When I watched this football team, and I don't like to compare, you know, this guy, oh, he was great in college, so he's going to be great in the NFL. That rarely happens, a la Trevor Lawrence this season. Look at what he did. He threw 12 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. Granted, rookie year, terrible situation, terrible franchise. They'll have to get rolling with him or else he's going to be a bust. But you look at Joe Burrow, 60 touchdowns at LSU, national champion, Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick. When you list all those things out, when I start thinking of that, I'm like, this guy's probably going to be a bust in the NFL because that's just what happens. You win all those things in college, you're probably, it's just the cards aren't in your favor. This is actually the first Super Bowl we are seeing two number one overall picks, first time in Super Bowl history that we are seeing this. That's how rare it is to be, you know, a number one pick and get to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is doing it in his second season in the NFL, and he's doing it with his college teammate, Ja'Marr Chase. Now, think about this. A rookie wide receiver, very rare that a rookie is going to get double teamed on every single play. Every single play, there was a cornerback and a safety looking at Ja'Marr Chase at all times. And the Chiefs, until the late third and fourth quarter, did a very good job at slowing him down. I believe he had 2 targets, 8 yards, okay, in the first half. That's what you need if you want to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Because the last time the Chiefs and the Bengals played, Ja'Marr Chase had 260 yards, 3 touchdowns. Can't let that happen, right? And it's funny about that game when you look back on it. He already had like 200 yards in the fourth quarter, and it was still one-on-one coverage. They weren't double-teaming him. So they learned this time. They understood. But Zach Taylor in that offense for the Cincinnati Bengals, they figured out how to get him open. He had about 4 or 5 catches with a double team as a rookie. This guy is 22 years old, and he's going to the Super Bowl with his quarterback who won a national championship together a couple years back. This is an unbelievable story. I love Joe Burrow. And by the way, again, Evan McPherson, Florida Gator, clutch. Okay, that's all you can say. He's a rookie too. He's a rookie. Oh, everybody who's making plays right now for the Cincinnati Bengals is young. That's why I say if anybody can live up to what Tom Brady did, Joe Burrow is probably the guy to do it because you have the young team now. And the reason why I'm saying this statement, people be like, oh, you know, again, you're living in the moment right now. You're a prisoner of the moment. The Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl window is gone. It's gone. The Kansas City Chiefs will not win another Super Bowl. I guarantee it. Look at Patrick Mahomes' contract. He signed that contract, 2.5, 3 years ago, right? 12 years, $500 million. That's a lot of money. In the first couple of years of the contract, it was pushed down. Hey, we're going to give you 15 this year. We'll give you 20 the next year. We'll give you 22 the next year. That fourth year, you're going to start getting $49 million, $50 million a year for the remainder of your contract. The Kansas City Chiefs are also paying Travis Kelce $100 million. Tyreek Hill's got a massive contract. Chris Jones has a massive contract. The team that they assembled around Patrick Mahomes will not be able to stay. Not all of them will be able to stay. And that's what I think the Chiefs were thinking. Hey, we need to invest now. We need to spend money because we have a point here where we can win the Super Bowl. We can win a couple Super Bowls. And they got one. They got the one. Patrick Mahomes gets the MVP. But you lose to Brady in the Super Bowl, and then you lose to basically a rookie quarterback because he got hurt last year. He missed about 8 games. You lose in the AFC Championship game, which, by the way, the last 5 AFC Championship games have been at Kansas City. And they've been to 3 Super Bowls, won one of them. I think the window's closed. I do. I think it's over. I think it's over because you're not, unless people are willing to take massive pay cuts, and this day and age, you can't. You just won't. Especially a star like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, guys like that. You're not going to be able to have the success you did a few years back. Now, what does this mean for Andy Reid? Is he going to leave? I don't think so, not yet. But right now, personally, I think the Chiefs' window is over because you look at the AFC, the Buffalo Bills, yeah, they lost in overtime, right? But the Buffalo Bills are moving. They got a good team. Cincinnati's in the Super Bowl. They got a good team. The Los Angeles Chargers, they got a young quarterback. See what they do in the draft. They almost made the playoffs. And then you got Denver, who maybe, probably, will get Aaron Rodgers. If the big bad wolf comes to the AFC, definitely the Chiefs' window is over. It's over. Because the Chiefs beat, I think Patrick Mahomes is 13-0 against the Broncos. That'll end. That'll end real quick if the big bad wolf is in that conference. And yes, I'm referring to Aaron Rodgers because he is the big bad wolf. And we don't know what's going on with Aaron right now. Hopefully he's in Hawaii enjoying his life, probably taking some hallucinogens, if I could imagine. Seems like that type of guy. But right now, I mean, where he said he was going to make a decision at the trade deadline. We'll see how that works. But I think it's going to be Denver or he'll stay in the Packers. I used to say he's going to retire. With Brady retired and Ben Roethlisberger retired, I don't think he's retiring. He's like, I need my own. Because you think about it, the Hall of Fame class now, you got Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady going in at the same time. And probably Adrian Peterson too, because I think he'll retire. That's pretty cool to have those two guys in the Hall of Fame at the same time, the same induction. But back to the Bengals. The Bengals are a team that the world can get behind, that the NFL fans can get behind because it's such a cool story. And not to mention the swag and the moxie. I mean, when I saw Joe Burrow walk into Arrowhead Stadium with that black turtleneck and the Nike JB9 chain that he had on. And by the way, whatever reporter asked Joe Burrow if his diamonds were real, you need to lose your job. And you know what Joe Burrow said? Joe Burrow said, I make too much money for them to be fake. I love it. I love it. This is the future. This is the future right here. We got young, swaggy, moxie guys like Joe Burrow coming into the league, but you got to back it up. Joe Burrow backs it up. You know who also backs it up? Evan McPherson coming in overtime. As soon as they got in field goal range, Bengals started celebrating. You knew. And they got them closer and closer and closer. I'm screaming at the television because I took the Bengals not only outright, but I also took them plus the points at a very, very good weekend as far as that field goes, the Vegas odds. But I'm screaming at the TV, just let them kick. Let them kick. Stop this. You're running the football. You can fumble. Just stop, stop, stop. They get to about the 20-yard line. Easy chip shot for Evan McPherson. Nothing phases that kid. I just watched an interview with him and Pat McAfee. He's a guy, okay? He's an Adam Vinatieri, Justin Tucker type that's going to be around for a long time. And those guys are so... Adam Vinatieri is the all-time leading scorer in the NFL. Yeah, he played 24 seasons. People forget, like, hey, kicking matters. Kicking does matter, and especially in these games. This is back-to-back games. Evan McPherson in the playoffs has kicked a game-winning field goal. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So the Bengals are heading to Los Angeles. Never in my wildest dreams would I have ever said that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. But behind Joe Burrow and that team, it's going to be pretty cool to watch. I cannot wait for the Super Bowl. And the other game, obviously, the San Francisco 49ers going to SoFi Stadium to take on the Los Angeles Rams. I was all over the 49ers here. Even though the 49ers were an underdog, and I love that even more, look, Kyle Shanahan has a history, especially in, you know, fourth quarter, late in games, where his play calling becomes a little dicey. I'm a Jimmy Garoppolo fan. I'll say that right now. I think he is a good quarterback. But what Kyle Shanahan was doing up 10, basically, you know, wanting to throw the football when you have Elijah Mitchell and Deebo Samuel in the backfield for you, you should have ran out the clock, ran the ball as much as you can like you do all year, but he got cute. Sean McVay tried to lose this football game. He ran out of timeouts early in the fourth quarter while you're down. They were down 10 points. 10 points. No timeouts left. I mean, as a coach, my heart would probably sink to my stomach being like, oh, well, if this comes down to we got to take a timeout, we're going to lose this football game. But Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham Jr., they get the job done. They come back from 10 points. Matthew Stafford looked good, okay? Matthew Stafford looked good, but it's more about that defense. That defense with Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey. You know, I get he gets a lot of hate, you know, for his moxie and the way he, you know, trash talks people. I absolutely love it, especially coming from the corner position. From the corner position, your job, and I played receiver, your job is to get in that receiver's head so much that they start talking back. That's how you know if you're an elite trash talker, and if you start trash talking somebody, and I've experienced with this, if you start going at somebody and they come back at you very quick, I'm in their head. I'm in their head, and I'm not going to let up. That's what Jalen Ramsey does. It's a competitive advantage that he uses, and he also is so athletic and so good that he can shut down an entire half of the field, and that's what he did. And against a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo, he's bound to make a mistake. Matthew Stafford, though, is too. Late in that fourth quarter, dropped an interception that would have sealed the game. Dropped a wide-open interception. Terrible ball for Matthew Stafford. That's my only thing about Matthew Stafford. He's got a great arm. He's very, very accurate when he wants to be, it seems like. But there's just some times where he'll make a play. It's kind of like Carson Wentz. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah, Carson Wentz sprained both of his ankles on one play, threw the ball left-handed one time for an interception. He's a right-handed guy. He's not a southpaw. Matthew Stafford does the same kind of stuff. And we saw it about, you know, there was a six-game stretch in the regular season with the Los Angeles Rams being like, all right, well, Matthew Stafford, he's thrown like, you know, six or seven interceptions in the last four games. A couple of them returned for touchdowns. This is going to be a problem down the line. But they get the job done against the 49ers. By the way, Odell Beckham. How about that guy? How about Odell Beckham Jr.? To be able to leave a franchise, everybody said, oh, he's a malcontent. You know, he's just a malcontent. He's not a good teammate. From everything we've heard, the locker room loves him. The coaches love him. I saw a clip of him talking to young Van Jefferson, Florida Gator, by the way, talking to young Van Jefferson and saying, you know, it's we, not me. It's we, not me. And encouraging the young receiver and letting him know he's doing a good job. To me, that's a good teammate. To me, that's a great, great teammate. Absolute phenomenal teammate. And for him to come into the Rams and have success, he's had touchdowns in his last seven games. He had 100 yards in the conference championship game, a place he has never been before. I absolutely love it. But for the Rams, this is my big thing for the Los Angeles Rams. They have a super team. We see it in the NBA all the time. Steph, Clay, Kevin Durant, LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love. We see it all the time. Now in Brooklyn, Kyrie, you know, when he's away, Kevin Durant, James Harden. Super teams happen. The Los Angeles Rams have a super team right now. When you look at the receivers, Cooper Kupp, best receiver in the NFL probably as far as numbers go. He's the leader in catches, yards, touchdowns, and yards after catch. That's unbelievable. The quadruple crown. That's never happened in the NFL besides Michael Irvin. And again, 30 years ago. Right? So take it with a grain of salt. You know, who's he playing against? Good athletes, but not the athletes that are in today's game. Cooper Kupp, 2,000 yards receiving, you know, 18 touchdowns, just all that stuff. But to have Odell on the other side, a proven veteran in the league who can make plays, and for him to continuously come up, it's beautiful. So you got that on offense. You got quarterback Matthew Stafford, which this is a legacy game. This is a legacy season for Matt Stafford. If he wins the Super Bowl, put him in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. He was at a cursed franchise. The Detroit Lions are cursed, okay? We say it all the time. Hey, this is a PSA to Sheila Ford Ham, to Dan Campbell, and to everybody in the Detroit Lions front office coaching staff, just pay Calvin Johnson his money. I heard a report that the Detroit Lions were wanting Calvin Johnson to do community service hours for the Detroit Lions to then pay him back his multiple millions of dollars. Are you kidding me? Is he in detention? Is he on recycling duty in middle school? This is the NFL, and you're talking about one of the greatest receivers to ever play the game. The Detroit Lions ruined Calvin Johnson. They took Calvin Johnson away from us. They did. Imagine if Calvin Johnson was at a decent football team. Yeah, I mean, he had Matthew Stafford thrown to him, but that was it. They only had those two. And what do we talk about all the time on this program? Weapons. You got to have weapons. And if Calvin Johnson's your only weapon and they're double teaming him every play, which, by the way, I mean, he was 6'4", 230 pounds, and could still run past both, you know, corners. Unbelievable what Calvin Johnson was able to do. But the Detroit Lions, they got to pay him. Just pay him. Curse goes away if you pay him. And everybody's saying about Matthew Stafford, no, it's not all Detroit. Matthew Stafford is the problem. First year in a new system, he's in the Super Bowl. So weigh your options there, Detroit fans. But what I will say about this super team and the defense too, I already mentioned all the superstars that are on the defensive side. If the Los Angeles Rams don't win the Super Bowl this year, it's a bust. It's an absolute bust. Failed mission. Because when you think about it, the amount of things that they gave up, the cap space that they lost to have this team, it's going to be very hard to retain everybody, and you don't have any draft picks until 2024. The time is now for the Rams. If they lose, season's a bust, Rams are a bust, Joey Burrow gets a Super Bowl in his second year with a young team. Imagine the narrative. Imagine the narrative surrounding Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams. You spent all this money. You gave away everything. You gave away everything for this team. And this entire team that the Rams have probably only going to be around this year. Kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs. Their window's closed. This window is still open for the Los Angeles Rams, and they have to capitalize. They have to. Now, I'm going to give a pick next week for the Super Bowl, but what an amazing championship weekend we had. This entire NFL playoffs has been the best football I've ever seen. Unbelievable. The NFL is doing numbers. 60 million people watched the Chiefs and Bengals game. 60 million. Bring me any other league in the world and tell me if they got those numbers. No, they don't. They don't. Not even close, by the way. Not even close. Oh, well, college football, you know, a lot of people watch college football. 18 million people watched the national championship game. This is a conference championship game. Playoffs. 60 mil. Not even comparable. Don't even talk to me about that. Absolutely ridiculous. Conference championships were amazing. Thank you, Tom Brady, for everything that you did for the league. It took me a while to get to like Tom Brady. It took me a very long time. But when I look back on it, I'm like, I got probably some of the best years sports has seen in my childhood. And the NFL better wake up. Because Brian Flores is coming, and he's got receipts, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to heat up. We will continue to cover all of this. I greatly appreciate everybody joining us here. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Give me a 5-star rating, and be a friend, see a friend, tell a friend, share it with a friend. I greatly appreciate all you beautiful people. I will see you next week. Peace and love.